Hello and welcome back to another episode of the podcast that's been out to space for quite some time, Throwback Reviews Podcast. And on this episode, we'll be talking about the 1979 classic Alien. So let me go around and wake up the guys from cryostasis. Rob, wake up. It's time to get up. You there, buddy?
Oh, what's going on? Oh, I've been sleeping for 3 months. Oh, I felt so good. I have to stretch for 7 minutes now. And I'll make that noise the whole time. What's going on, man? It's good to be back on the mic. How are you doing?
I'm doing okay. It was a much needed break. I will admit to everyone, it was my doing. Take some time off. I meant to just take off the month of December and, then it kind of led into January.
That's how stuff works.
And then I was like, all right, we better get rocking on this thing before it's July.
I did some episodes of Sprite Castle while we were gone.
Some awesome episodes of Sprite Castle.
That's been fun. A couple of You Don't Know Flax. And I've just been trying to stay inside for this winter. I don't know about you guys. I don't know in the Northeast how your winter's been, but let me tell you, here in Oklahoma, it got down to 50 degrees today.
Oh, my gosh. Are you okay?
It's crazy. You know, I almost had to put on long pants. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, that's right. You're that guy that walks around in shorts all the time, right?
Yeah. How's it been up there in New York?
New York's been okay, but why don't we find out how our other buddy, Zurb, is handling the winter months. Let's wake him up.
Good morning. Jonesy.
Hey.
Jonesy. I lost my cat. Anyway, it's been oh boy. Well, we had snow, and then we had some snow, and then it snowed. We got I think we're working on 90 inches of snow.
And you're in Connecticut, right?
I'm in Connecticut, and it's
did you say 90?
Well, we started with 19. The next time we got 16. Then we got another 5, and then another 5.
Good Lord.
So that's where we are now. And we're expecting another 5 on Thursday into Friday. And a temperature of minus 12 to 15 coming tomorrow night. So it's not short.
Yeah, it's hitting the whole East Coast. I mean, basically, I can just mirror that same pretty much weather here in Buffalo. I think you guys actually have gotten a little more snow as of recent. Mm-hmm. This area got bombed. I think we recorded when we did like the Star Wars episode or something, but we've been definitely getting snowed. I think you guys get a little bit more, but we're getting that awful cold weather this weekend too. You know, where they're telling you, make sure you bring your pets in and check on elderly neighbors. And, you know, if you have pipes outside or that are close to being outside, let them run and drip and all that stuff. So yeah, it's been fun.
It's going to be neat. Frozen squirrels and chipmunks and all kinds of little birds sitting in the tree, not moving for a couple of days. That'll be neat.
Well, here today it got 50 below 100. Which would just be 50, because I like the winter. I do like the winter. I hate it when it's miserable hot. In Oklahoma, it gets super hot in the summer. We had a couple of years ago, we had like 30 days in a row where it was over 100, and there's just, you can't escape it. You know what I mean? When you go out, it's miserable. So in the summer, I always say, man, can't wait for winter. And so, and then, you know, on a normal winter, you know, you have a week or so of it, a little bit of snow, it's cold, and you put on a coat, and you know, it's only cold till you get out to your car, and then you go to work or whatever. And, you know, so, I don't know, I'm always a grass is greener type of guy, but I don't think I would enjoy that kind of winter you guys are having.
Yeah, it's definitely been a rough one this year, but what are you gonna do?
Before the show, you guys were talking about shoveling your roofs. I've literally never heard of anybody doing that. I didn't even know that was a thing.
And I'm learning. Sean is, you're familiar with it.
Yeah, I'm very well trained in the act of shoveling your roof. Some people actually get on the roofs and shovel them if you have more of a ranch house. Mine's my roof peaks are pretty high, so I do it from the ground. You buy basically, I like some people call it a roof rake, roof shovel, because you're kind of pulling it instead of pushing it with a shovel. But I mean, it's on a long pole and it reaches up on top of your roof, and you just pull it and you pull the snow off. That way it doesn't melt and jam up in ice jam into your gutters and cause all sorts of mess.
But then it's all around your house then, right?
Yeah. And then you get to shovel that away from your house so it doesn't sit on your foundation. Yeah.
Weren't you saying, you were saying earlier that your pole is 30 feet.
It is.
That's nice.
It's long and nice, shiny.
That's very cool. My, yeah, I would go outside and there's people on the roof across the street. And the first time I saw it, I giggled a little bit, got in the car and drove down in the next house. Somebody was on the roof. Next house, someone's pulling stuff off. And I, oh gosh, maybe I should start worrying about this too. It's not just
you're renting. You have nothing to worry
That's
about.
True.
I would not be doing this if it was a rental, but it's my own home, so I got to maintain it. All right. Well, enough of Rob rubbing it in our faces with his beautiful, gorgeous Oklahoma weather. Rob, why don't we get a little bit into this? Do we want to get into the cast first, or let's do the cast first, and then we'll get into the plot of the movie?
Okay. Well, this of course is the movie Alien. And it was written by Dan O'Bannon, also known for working on Return of the Living Dead, Invaders from Mars, Total Recall, working on the screenplay with that. It was directed by the great Ridley Scott, who is known for Blade Runner, Prometheus. And then it is starring Sigourney Weaver as Ripley, Tom Skerritt as Dallas, who is probably one of the most famous hairpiece wearers on the planet. Wonderful actor, though. Sigourney Weaver has a throwback to the Ghostbusters episode that you've done.
Oh, that's right.
Before.
That's right.
So it has Veronica Cartwright as Lambert. Also, she was in The Witches of Eastwick chucking up cherries. That's one of the best roles I've seen her do, if you remember. Okay. Harry Dean Stanton plays Brett. John Hurt is Kane. Big in the Harry Potter movies. Ian Holm plays Ash, an incredible character you'll hear about soon. And Yaphet Kotto as Parker. Helen Horton plays Mother, which is a computer system you're going to hear about in a little bit. She plays the voice role. And Mr. Balaji Badejo, discovered in a pub by the casting director at a height of 6'10", plays the alien.
Yep. He no acting experience at all. They just happened to go into a pub. This guy was there, and they were like, hey, we need a guy to be the alien in this movie. So just plucked him out. If you look on IMDb, he has about 4 credits, and they're all alien. It says, like, alien, then it says, you know, in the alien documentary and in the alien you know, when it, like the anniversary, they did a thing, you know, but so this is really the only thing he ever did. But,
so, well, that's good. It's paid for his, he's covered his life. So that's good.
There you go.
He had a career. That's for darn sure.
Oh, when I was watching this, everybody looked familiar. But Ian Holm, as I'm seeing him come out, and I'm like, this guy, just something about him looked very familiar. I could not put my finger on it until about 15 minutes into the film. And I'm like, it was Bilbo, wasn't it? Didn't he play Bilbo?
That's right.
In the Lord of the Rings film?
Bilbo Baggins.
That's all I knew him from, but it finally hit me.
I think he was with Sigourney Weaver in Space Galaxy, but I'm not 100% with Tim Allen. Didn't he play a ship captain? I think. I'm not.
Oh, Galaxy Quest. Is that
Galaxy Quest?
Okay, yeah.
See,
I don't remember. I don't remember from that. That's a funny movie.
That's a good movie.
Is that a 90s? That's a 90s movie, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, we could have had a three-peat with Sigourney Weaver.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah. So I mean, everybody to me, other than Veronica Cartwright, looked familiar to me. So, so with this movie, I kind of know the answer to this, but Zurb, was this your first time watching it?
No.
Or is this something that's been a...
Oh, well, it came out in 1979, late, I think it was 1982 or 1983 is when I saw it. And it took a while.
Oh, you didn't go to the movies?
No, I saw it on HBO.
You were 15 in 79, right?
Or was it 16? Were you 16? No, 16. I was 9 years old in 1979. And And but no, I had to watch this on HBO, and it was the kind of thing where I knew it was coming on. I was very interested in it just for the sheer fact of the spooky artistry of it in the preview. So I knew nothing else of it. And on HBO, and they said it would be coming on tonight at blah, blah time. It was probably like 2 a.m. And so I snuck downstairs and I turned the TV on, as I did for Terminator before it and a couple other movies. And I had to turn the volume out just to a small whisper and set my ear next to the TV because I didn't want to get busted. And that's the first time I've ever seen that movie. And it was just, it was amazing. It was amazing from beginning to end. It was like, I felt like I was dreaming watching it. It was just so amazing.
Did you like almost blow your eardrums out when you did that? Because when I was watching this, it would be super quiet and then, oh, it would just get really loud.
Well, at that age, my thing was that I was more interested in the action and whatever was scary, and I would wait through the talking. I could care less about the talking.
Yeah, right.
So I always wanted the cool parts to come up, and I was very patient. I spent most of that time making sure that mom and dad weren't coming down and busting me watching TV at 2 a.m. in the morning.
Yeah.
You know. But, yeah, I couldn't hear. Even rewatching it recently, I'm turning the TV up and down because even with THX sound quality crap, it's nothing. It just doesn't work. The volume of the talking is down here, and all of a sudden the music's up here. And
yeah.
The sound.
It's, and that still happens, though. Today, yeah. You watch things, and, you know, we'll rent a movie, and Nicole and I will be watching it. And we try to keep if we're upstairs, we'll, you know, try to keep it down a little bit because there's two bedrooms off the living room where my youngest are. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's like, you got to turn it down because it's loud. And then you're like, what are they saying? You got to turn it up and then boom, it's real loud. Yeah. So if we have a living room like in the basement with acoustic tiles. So there we don't have to worry about it. But sometimes you don't, you know, you just want to be upstairs and it gets a little frustrating. TVs like that. And I think there was something with the networks where people were complaining and they were trying to get that changed or something.
Well, because the commercials would come in louder than the TV shows. Yeah. And it's because they want to make the money, of course. I think that the reason these movies do this, and it's personal opinion, but I think it's the 5.1 or the 7.1 surround sound that is built into the disc. And if you're just watching on a regular TV, you're screwed.
Yeah.
But if you have that speaker setup, then it'll come into the, you know, you can organize with
the speaker setup that just everybody has.
Right.
They assume.
Our house is a pretty open layout. Like we've got a couple different areas where we have TVs, but at night, I mean, if I'm watching a horror movie or something, if I turn it up to where I can hear what's going on, everybody in the house can hear the movie. And I end up watching them. Like if I watch stuff late at night, I'll turn on the subtitles because I've got the volume so low that when it does blast that stuff, it's not super loud. But just like you guys said, it's when you do that, then it's so low that, you know, because I'm half deaf anyway, so I've got it turned down and I can't hear what it just sounds like mumbling. So then I'm just kind of, if I could see the words, then I could tell what they're saying. You know what I mean?
Right.
But mm-hmm. Yeah, I have the volume so low for that. It's a pain.
Become an expert mouth reader. I've started doing headphones. Headphones is the only way I can hear everything without going out and blowing 7.1 million on a 7.1 speaker surround sound. Mm-hmm.
That's how I finished. I watched this in two blocks, and I watched it when I was on the treadmill the other night, and I had Bluetooth headphones on because I was trying to hear it, and the kids were in the other room, and I'm like, I got to have this so loud, so I don't want them to hear, you know, screaming and stuff. So, anyway, so Rob, how about you? I'm assuming you've seen this multiple times.
I have seen this, but I didn't see it when it came out. Of course, I was pretty young when it originally came out. And I think what got me, I'm almost pretty sure I saw Aliens, the sequel, first. And I don't even think that the reason I saw Aliens is because, there were video games that were coming out that were related to Aliens. Like there was an Aliens game on the Commodore, and later on there was, you know, arcade games that were Aliens. And so I had seen Aliens, and then someone, you know, finally told me, like, hey, did you know this is really a sequel, that there's an older Alien movie? And so then I went back and saw that. But I'm almost positive I saw Aliens first before I saw this one.
Hmm. Well, I, being the youngster of the group here, I did not see it as well when it came out. But you know what? I did not see this movie as a kid. I think the part with Kane, was it? Is that his name?
Mm.
And then the ending part, I kind of remember seeing those just in maybe like something on the TV. I remember that scene of it coming out of his torso. Mm-hmm. I think more so from Spaceballs,
but, right,
where he had a cameo reenacting that same part
in a great suit. He looked good.
Yeah. So, but honestly, this was just not my genre of films growing up, and kind of still isn't. But my wife, when I told her we were doing this movie, which is weird because I picked this one, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know why I picked it. I don't know why this got on my radar, but I was like, we got to do a show, guys. It's been almost 3 months. We're going to do Alien. And then Rob, thankfully, had to explain to me the difference between Alien and Aliens, because I'm like, wait a minute. I'm trying to watch Aliens, and you're like, no, Alien is the first one, which then led to our Mad Max conversation where everyone thinks Mad Max Road Warrior is the first one when they think of Mad Max.
Right.
It's just into this whole
It's funny you said that this
thing.
Isn't really your genre, because Alien and Aliens are really two different genres. You know, Aliens is an action shoot 'em up movie, you know, with the right. Space Marines where they go out and kick ass and fight the aliens. Whereas, this is more sci-fi horror. I mean, it's really, a horror movie, and we'll talk about that a little bit, when we go over the, movie summary, but yeah, this is more of a, suspense horror movie than action, really.
Yeah. And, you know, the funny thing is too, I had to get a hold of you because Nicole and I sat down to watch it, and I'm like, wow, I didn't know Paul Reiser was in this movie. And we're watching it for about 2 minutes, and she's like, this is the second one. This is Aliens. I'm like, yeah, Aliens. She's like, no. Again, she's like, no, it's Aliens, the first one. I'm like, all right, hold on. Let me go into Plex. And I'm like, oh, crap, I don't have it. So I had to wait. But it's that's what she said. The same thing you said. It's a lot more of an action movie. Where I personally thought this movie was kind of long. I've talked to a few other people, you know, not associated with the show, that were like, "Wow, you're doing Alien. That movie's boring. It's so long and boring." And you know what? I didn't think it was boring. I really didn't. I thought those little lull parts tied well with the action scenes and everything. It really wasn't. Well, like you said, it wasn't really an action movie, because I was going to say there wasn't as much action with the alien as I thought there would be. There was a lot of build up to it, but I did think it was a good build up.
Right. It's definitely some tension, you know, and has that claustrophobic kind of feel, you know, where you're building, where there's this thing, but you don't know where it is. And I think it had a lot to do also, with hiding the alien, similar to Jaws. We talked about on Jaws, you know, Steven Spielberg had wanted to show the shark a lot in Jaws, and it had malfunctioned so badly during filming, and it looked so fake that he wasn't able to show it as much as he had. And of course, it turns out now people think, you know, he's a genius, because he just showed these fleeting shots of it and was hiding it and little clips, you know. And it's the same thing with this. I mean, if they just showed a guy walking around in a rubber suit, I'm an alien, you know, it just looks stupid. But instead, they just have, you know, it's always really darkly lit, and there's strobe lights and there's fog, and you just see him in the background, or you see him hidden somewhere, you know. And so it does make it is a lot more scary that way, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Rob, why don't you, for anybody who maybe like me had not seen it or has not seen this movie in some time, a little refresher, a little quick summary for everyone.
Well, right off the bat, the movie Alien was written by Dan O'Bannon. And Dan O'Bannon actually co-wrote another movie previous to this called Dark Star. Dark Star is a science fiction thriller / horror movie, but it's also kind of a comedy, and it was co-written by John Carpenter, who did Halloween. And so after writing this, he said, you know what, I'd like to rewrite this. And if you've not ever seen Dark Star, It's very, very similar to Alien. It's about people that are in a spaceship and they are getting tracked by an alien inside the ship, but it's played much more for laughs. In fact, the alien is a painted beach ball that chases them around the ship. And so O'Bannon said, you know what I'd like to do? I'd like to redo that again, but do it serious, you know, and do it almost like a horror film. So he wrote this script for Alien and pitched it, and nobody would give him any money. Nobody thought that a horror movie in space would go over. Space movies were not big. This has been, was floating around as early as 75, I believe. And then Star Wars came out in 1977. And all of a sudden, movie houses were clamoring for outer space type movies. And they already had this script sitting there. And that's when Alien got greenlit. So even though it was written before Star Wars, it wasn't until the success of Star Wars that that the script got greenlit and actually got made. Alien is the story of a 7-man crew on the ship, the Nostromo. They are in deep hibernation when their ship receives a distress signal, and according to apparently international space law, they are required to investigate this distress signal. So when they land, they land to investigate this signal. Three of the crew members go out, and they actually find an alien. They find these eggs, and one of the aliens, I guess, in the early stage of being born is a facehugger, is what it's known as. And so the facehugger attaches itself to one of the crew members, who is Kane. So they return to the ship with the facehugger. The facehugger, I guess I'm giving away some of it here, but the facehugger turns into a, as Sean mentioned, a baby alien that crawls inside one of the crew members and then bursts out of his chest. The crew members try to attempt to kill the alien, but they find out that the alien's blood is actually acid. So if they try to kill the alien, it will destroy the ship. So basically, it is a horror film with the crew going around stalking the alien. There are a lot of scary jump-type moments. It is a game of cat and mouse where the crew chases the alien for a while, and then for a while, the alien chases the crew. And before long, Ripley is the only crew member left. So they decide to, well, right before some of the other crew members die, I guess I should say, they decide that the only way they're going to get rid of the alien is to set the ship on self-destruct, which they do. But then more crew members die and Ripley's the only person left. So she gets into an escape pod and leaves, but little does she know that the alien is also with her. So this leads to one final showdown between Ripley and the alien, in which one of them, I don't want to give it away, but one of them gets jettisoned out into space and the other one returns for three more alien films. So I don't want to know, don't want to say which is which, but Alien came out in June of 1979. It had a budget of $11 million, which there's no way it would have got that kind of budget before the release of Star Wars. So that was in June, July, August, September. 4 months later, in October, it had earned $60 million, and it has currently earned more than $200 million worldwide. It was followed by Aliens, the one that Sean started watching in 86, Alien 3 in 92, and Alien Resurrection in 97, and then, of course, the crossover Alien versus Predator films.
Hmm.
So that's Alien.
And so as far as the Alien sequels go, I'm going to assume, well, I haven't seen any of them, but I'm going to assume that the Alien versus Predator, that's got to be garbage, right?
No, the first one's great. The first one's really good, and then I think...
Oh, there's two Alien versus Predator?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, the first one's good. And I think she's not in Alien versus Predator, but Sigourney Weaver is in all the traditional the Alien movies, all four.
Yeah, and isn't Winona Ryder in Resurrection? Is that the one she's in?
I think, and that's the one, because Ripley gets killed in the third one, but then she gets brought back. She's cloned and brought back in the fourth one.
Oh, great. Thanks.
So might as well.
Just spoil that for me, just like my wife spoiled the fact that Ash was an android. I'm like, oh,
did she tell you that?
Yeah.
And then I
read your show notes, too, and I was like, God damn it.
No, that's one of the good reveals.
Yeah.
Then she got new boobs in Space Quest.
Oh, that's she did.
Yeah.
But she didn't look bad in this one.
No.
No, no. We'll get to that.
Okay.
We'll get to that. Don't you worry, because we're getting to the memorable scenes. Yeah, so the chest bursting scene was definitely, like I said, I'd seen it on like specials and stuff like that. It's just something that I think most people had seen before.
Are you talking about the alien, or are we talking about Sigourney Weaver?
You know, it's one of those scenes that it's like the, gosh, you know, the first time I watched Psycho. And there's the shower scene. I had never seen the movie. I didn't think I knew anything about it, but I was like, oh, that's where this comes from. You know what I mean? It's like such a huge pop culture reference that it transcends the movie. And the chest bursting scene is like that. The same thing with the face hugger alien. And those are things, even if you've never seen this movie, when you see those things, you're like, oh, that's from Alien, you know?
Yeah. See, now the face hugger, I had heard the reference people talk about with the movie before, but I had not seen that scene before. So that I was like, man, that is messed up.
Did you like the, when they dissected the face hugger?
No, because I was eating at the time.
I read that it was like actual like fish and some other like real creatures that they had basically put in there.
Crab and steak.
Yeah.
That's what it looked like.
Which if you're going to, I mean, it gets real results, you know?
Yeah. The one thing about the scene that you're talking about with the alien that came out of the stomach, when it sat and looked around at people, even when I remember that distinctly when I was 12, 13, when I saw it, the first thing that came to my mind is I wondered if Jim Henson had anything to do with it. That's the first thing I thought, just because of the way that it looked around, and it kind of looked like one of the Muppets, just slightly when it was looking around. And then when it opened its mouth, I was sucked back into the movie again.
Yeah.
I didn't like when the alien came out, I was like, oh man, that's cheesy. But when John Hurt was bursting out of him, you know, the way he was just like shaking and his hands were kind of like convulsing and everything. Like, I just thought that was awesome. Then the alien popped out and looked, and I think was like, or something, and then like scurries off. I'm like, oh, that was super cheesy.
It didn't scurry. It did a straight line beam for the egg cart.
Yeah, I mean, it should. I think the Spaceballs one where he was like, what was he like? Hello, my baby. Hello, he had a top hat and cane. I'm like, I would have rather. I thought that was better done.
Yeah, I guess it's a pretty famous known fact that nobody knew that an alien was going to come out of him, all the actors in the scene, but they had not rehearsed this. They had not. So they had no idea what it was going to look like. And also they hadn't been told that blood was going to explode. So when the other lady, when she gets hit with blood and she's laying on the ground going, oh my God, or whatever, apparently that is her real reaction to that scene. I mean, this was the first time.
Definitely. Yeah. That was, cause that was incredible acting, and I hadn't heard that before. So that's awesome. Yeah. Yeah. That's a way to get a reaction. You know,
I mean, other than that, there was, another part later in the movie that involved Ash that I thought was kind of like, ooh, that was totally, you could see that the switch there when he's like decapitated and they're trying to do a little like electroshock to get him back to talking, and it's like a prosthetic head, and then it like boom, it's his actual head. You can tell like he's probably under a table.
Right.
Like other than those two scenes though, I mean, I thought all the special effects in the movie were good. I mean, those are the only two that, and they weren't horrible. It's just like kind of those things where you're watching and going, oh yeah, that's,
here's the thing. And I think I may have made a note of this later somewhere, but I'll just mention it here. I love, and I've said this before in this show, I love practical effects, and I will always take practical effects over CGI. I mean, you see the models of the spaceships in this, there's something about them that just looks cool when you know that they're an actual model, that somebody sat down and built these things, you know. And of course, they were built on drawings of H.R. Giger did. And I don't know. It's just something. And even that android scene, there are parts of it that look a little bit cheesy, but I would just take that over something that's just blatantly computer generated.
Mm-hmm.
One thing I really enjoyed about that too is as 1979 when they did it, and a lot of the even the technology as well, but a lot of the effects that they did were pretty high tech for that time.
Yeah. So I mentioned H.R. Giger. I used to always say H.R. Geiger, but apparently it's Giger. But if you don't know who he is, he was a famous artist. He has a very unique style that's very instantly recognizable. He did a huge amount of album covers. Of course, it was artwork and stuff, but a lot of his artwork appeared on album covers. He did album covers for Celtic Frost, Steve Stevens, Carcass, Danzig, the Dead Kennedys, John Davis, lead singer of Korn, commissioned this microphone stand that looks like the alien that he's always takes in concert or whatever. There is a Giger line of Ibanez guitars. He's just a super unique artist. And so he had done some other artwork. He did some preliminary designs for Dune that ended up not being used. But then they called him back and he designed the alien, and he's very, his artwork, if you've never seen it, it's a blend of, it's always has to do with human and biomechanical being mixed together. It's always like you'll see a person, but there's like armor and there's always bones and spines and skulls and things like that. And so when you see this alien, I mean, that is really quintessential Giger artwork, you know. And so, and he also designed the spaceships that are in this movie. So I got to, when I was in Vegas a few years ago, they had, I think it was at Planet Hollywood, they had a Giger art gallery set up, you know, like a display of his artwork, and it was just really super cool. And they had a lot of the paintings and like blueprints that he had drawn where he designed the alien and stuff like that. It was really cool to see.
Amazing artist, definitely.
Yeah, excuse me. And you know, I agree with you as far as the ships and all that, you know, the way they looked, everything, the whole layout of the movie and the scenes in the different parts of the ship that they would go into. I mean, I thought it just felt like it was real. Like they were really, mm-hmm. like this was being filmed on like a real ship type of thing. I think that stuff looked really well. And what do you guys, you know, I want your opinion as far as the acting goes. I mean, I think the acting was great. I love the relationships that were there. I believe it was Brett, Harry Dean Stanton, and was it Parker, who was the head mechanic, I think, or engineer of the ship. They're kind of, you know, Brett would always agree, or what would he say? Okay. Or he would say something, because I think Sigourney Weaver said something to him about it or whatever.
You always say okay whenever he says something.
And then he says okay.
He says okay.
but just, I mean, I just thought he had a really good acting in the film. Zura, would you think about that?
I think it's the best I've ever seen Sigourney Weaver act. I think ever since then, it's she hasn't come close to that role, and she did pretty well in the other Alien movies as well. She carried that role well, being the head woman in charge, you know, and taking the reins of making sure everything was run smooth in the worst of situations. In the movie Avatar, it seemed like she was trying to recapture that feeling, and she just didn't do it. The other actors as well, that's the best gentleman who played Dallas, best I've ever seen him act. And the camaraderie between the two, having a conversation as if there wasn't any lines to go by, but they were actually improvising their sentences and just having a conversation.
Right.
It was very well done all the way through like that.
I read the original review of Alien from Roger Ebert, and one of the things he pointed out was that a lot of the horror movies of that time, and of course this predates Friday the 13th and things like that. But it kind of gets compared to a lot of those as a type of that horror movie where there's somebody, in this case, it's an alien stalking people. But one of the things he pointed out was that Sigourney Weaver, who was 29 in this field, in this film, is the youngest person on the crew, you know? And so a lot of those movies, you know, the slasher type movies had girls that were, you know, 21, 22, whatever, and maybe weren't good actors. Where in this, you have a whole crew of people that are, you know, in their 40s and in some cases in their 50s. And I think it does add to not just them being good actors, but it adds to the authenticity of these are grizzled old guys that are working on a spaceship, you know, as opposed to a bunch of pretty faces that are about to get killed.
Yeah, which it would be now.
Right. Yeah, now it would be whoever's on Nickelodeon.
The character of Ash, if my wife had not have said anything, I really would have just – I would have been surprised. I just figured, you know, he's the scientist kind of guy. And I love the twist in his character because basically he was – this whole – they were what, mining ore or something? Is that what it says in the beginning of the film?
They're out doing they're like a tugboat is what it is. The Nostromo is like a ship that goes back and hauls other ships back in. So they're like, they're like bringing somebody back in. Yeah.
But in reality, the underlining mission from the employer is for this to happen. Correct. Is for them to bring this alien specimen back.
Right.
And Ash knows it. Doesn't he say at one point, because it was hard to hear, and I didn't get time to rewatch it, but didn't he say, like, he had a special mission, or this was his special mission?
Yeah.
To bring back this, like, wonderful species or something.
At any cost. Species. Even at the cost of the crew.
Right.
Expendable crew. That's what it was. Mother, the computer, was talking about it being an expendable crew, and that's when Ash was sitting next to Sigourney and said, what did you expect? You know, this is...
And that's when he flips out.
And then he starts sweating milk. And 2% started coming out, and that was it.
I thought it was more like a skin, but I'll give you 2%.
Milk and marbles are what aliens are made of. Who knew?
That's right.
Yeah, but I mean, like I said, I wouldn't have known. I would have just thought he was just an obsessed scientific kind of guy, because they had basically a chance where Parker could have taken it out, and he's like, no, don't, you know, I'm thinking, what the heck is this guy? What? You know, I really did like the character. Kind of sucks that it was ruined, but I still enjoyed it.
Yeah.
With him.
What did your wife, like, you start watching us, and then she's like, by the way, he's an android. Did she just, like throw it out there?
No, you know what? I think she got up for something.
She might get banned off our show. We might not let her back.
I think at some point she left, I don't know, get a drink or whatever it was, and she's like, does Ripley know he's an android yet? And I'm like, what are you talking about?
Oh, no.
Android.
And then I looked at the show notes, and I'm like, we got busted there too by Rob. But in Rob's defense, we were supposed to actually record this last week, so he had the show notes ready for the show last week. But it's no big deal. I'll give her a pass on that. She puts up with me every day. But there's a scene that I enjoyed, but I kind of got upset about. Is there any? But we can get that. What about you, Rob? Any other, talking points as far as scenes in the movie?
I think that's
characters?
Mostly it. You know, I was doing some Googling, looking like for other reviews, like movie, like actual like newspaper reviews, and I saw this referred to as the first sci-fi horror film. I don't think that's true. I think there were other, you know, earlier ones, but this definitely gets that tag as far as modern movies go. You know, you have this alien that basically they set up the rules that the alien can't be killed. If you kill it, it will destroy the ship and kill you. So they don't have a plan for a long part of this movie. And then, you know, for a while, like I said, they're, the alien's trying to find them. Then they're trying to find the alien, and you just have this, you're trapped in a ship. You can't leave the ship. So it's the whole movie. And like what you said, there are long periods where there's not action, but I think that just, it's almost like this movie just crushes you. You know what I mean? Like you just start feeling more and more claustrophobic. You realize they can't leave. They can't kill this thing, and this thing is not going to stop until it eats all their faces off. So that's just, right. You know, you're like, there's only one ending to this as far as we can see, you know, and I don't know. I mean, I like it. It's definitely a different kind of film, especially having seen Aliens first, where, you know, it's all about, like I said, the Space Marines, you know, they go in and right. They just got their laser cannons and they're going to blow everything up. So seeing this is a totally different film.
Yeah, I did. I enjoyed it. And like I said before, I'm not a big horror fan. So, to me, it wasn't a horror movie. It was more just a sci-fi thriller, I guess. I would think of it more than a horror movie, but I guess because it has the monster and everything. Mm. I mean, and every time somebody did get killed, you could see the buildup. Like, all right, this here's number one. Like Brett, I think was, other than Kane, Brett was the second person to get killed because he was looking after the cat, right? Because they had a transmitter or something that could decipher a small object moving. Yeah. So they wanted to capture the cat so that they could remove it from being traced. And which was really cool, that scene where he is kind of looking around and he found the shed skin from the alien. Now it has gotten bigger at this point, which I thought was a little ridiculous how large it grew in such a short period of time. Like he's looking at some skin that's maybe, 2 feet big, and he kind of realizes like, oh, crap, what this is, you know, probably getting a little bigger. But other than that, I thought they were all good. Even, you know, when Dallas was in like a vent shaft or something, and then they see it on the computer, and she's like, "It's coming right at you."
That gets you going.
Because that's the thing too. Like with horror movies, sometimes to me, they're just cheesy the way things happen. Like Freddy Krueger, when we did The Nightmare on Elm Street, when he had the long arms and he's running down that. Like, I was just like, oh man, that scene, I couldn't stand that. But this, I didn't get like that. I was like, oh, this guy's going to go, but let's see how it happens.
He even got a good actor cat, Jonesy the cat. And the cat was around the corner and he was looking at that alien and the look, and he's, you know, that look in his face.
I wonder how they did that.
I actually read how they did that. They had a dog right behind that actor, and they had it was like in a cage, and then they had a sheet over it. So then when they were ready for the cat to react, they pulled the sheet up and it saw the dog there.
Poor cat.
There you go. And also I think there are either three or five identical Jonesies.
Oh man.
I said there were a lot of, that's
they were related to Morris, the cat
working with animals.
Yeah.
Okay, so towards the end of the movie, they got me. They sucked me in. They made my guard drop.
Oh, you thought it was over?
Well, I was hoping it wasn't, but I thought the alien part was over.
you thought everybody was safe.
And I mean, I'll play the pervert role on the show. That she was looking good.
Yes.
She was going to get into her space jacuzzi.
I was like, oh my gosh, what is, oh geez. And then I'm like, oh, here we go. Like,
I have a question.
I seriously did. I thought that was the end. I wasn't paying attention to time.
Do you think like on that alien, like on the Apollo or like on the space shuttle? I mean, you know, we have people in the space station, you know. You ever think they go up there and they're in their spacesuit and they're like, well, I'm just going to relax. I'm going to get down in my underwear and just hang out in the space shuttle.
That was hardly underwear.
That was barely.
Barely a suggestion.
That was the first, I'm sure of this, is the first time I ever saw women's underwear or bikini bottoms, anything like that, that went straight across.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that, but that low. I mean, I saw them that went straight across, but they were on my grandma and they were at her belly and they were at her belly button. but these are pretty low.
You know, the shortest distance between two objects. Straight line.
They looked like a 60s bikini or something.
They're like a half panties or something.
Yeah.
And when did her t-shirt get wet? Because right before she got into the suit, her t-shirt was wet in the front. Almost as if they just took a cup and went, whoosh, oh, that'll look better.
It was a little sweat. Zerb.
That was sweat?
She was just trying to battle an alien.
Alien chasing.
Her hair was dry. Completely dry.
She's a chest perspirator. It happens.
Wow. That
look at me right scene. Now.
I wasn't questioning.
Oh, gosh. Sit back down.
All right.
But yeah, so that's the end of the movie where she finally does get rid of
right.
The
so she has escaped. She blew up the main ship. She gets into the escape pod, and so you're lulled into this thing where she's like, oh, now I'm just going to go back to Earth. And then all of a sudden we see the alien on the escape pod, and there's nowhere to go in the escape pod. So it's like a fourth part of the film, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But there, not to go into a whole thing, but there's a movie called Naked Space. It was originally called Spaceship, and it's a complete comedy. They renamed it Naked Space because Leslie Nielsen's in it. So after Naked Gun got popular, they went back and renamed it Naked Space. It was on HBO all the time, and it is a complete comedy parody of this movie. They go onto a planet. They find a little tiny alien. It grows into a big giant alien. It chases them around the ship, and at the end, they get rid of it by blasting it out into space. And I'm sure I saw that before I saw Alien. So when that happened in this movie, you know, it's kind of like when you're a kid and you hear a Weird Al song, and later you hear the original that it was a parody, yeah. And you're like, oh, now I get it, you know? So I definitely had that feeling when I saw this, you know, when they jettisoned the alien out and all that. I was like, oh, that makes more sense now.
Rob, so why don't we – this is another little segment that's kind of yours. You like to do this research. Well, because you're the collector of collections. So what did you find as far as any kind of memorabilia and stuff like that? Or what do you – better, yeah, what do you have?
Let me tell
you. Do you have anything from this?
Well, you know, we've done so many movies on this podcast that where there are no collectibles, you know. So I'm here to tell you, if you like Alien and you like Aliens, woo boy, get your credit cards ready, folks, because there's a ton of stuff out there. Now, there was – in the very beginning when this movie came out – they released a 12-inch alien figure, and it scared kids so bad that they pulled them off of shelves. And there was a 3¾-inch line, just like the same size as Star Wars, that was planned, but they canceled it because they, you know, pulled the other one off. So
I can't believe that.
I know, isn't that crazy? But so they never did any Star Wars scale. Now they have done them since. There's a company called Reaction. We've talked about them on the show before, who is doing, like, they've done the Back to the Future figures. They're all in that same Star Wars scale, 3¾, but they've done, I don't know if it's them, but there's several different movies like Back to the Future that they've done, and they have released a whole series of alien figures now. And there's a couple different aliens. There's Kane with the chest burster. There's Kane with the face hugger. There's Ripley. I believe she's in the space suit. I don't think you get the underwear Ripley. You might have to custom order that one. But they have Ash. They have Dallas. So for vintage stuff, there was a board game. There were the Halloween costumes. There was a lot of stuff, lunch boxes. And then after Aliens and Alien 3, they came out with a ton of things. In fact, I have one right here. If you guys could see this, of course, they can. The people at home can't see, but I got this, which is an alien from that series. It's one of those toys, and when you bend him, and the little spikes come up on his head. So there were a ton of these type of alien figures, but those were all in the 90s. For new stuff today, if you go to ThinkGeek, where I do a ton of shopping and I always get gift certificates like for Christmas from ThinkGeek, they have plush Xenomorph, which is the official name of the alien. They have a plush facehugger. They have a plush chest burster. So if you want any of those things, I think those could be good stocking stuffers.
You say Xenomorph is the name of the alien?
Yeah.
Is that something that we learn in one of the sequels? Or is that just kind of one of those things that...
I think it was like, what do they call that? Retro written, you know what I mean? Like,
right.
So I think they might refer to it in a later movie, but definitely not in this one. But on ThinkGeek, they got pint glasses. They have a replica alien egg. They have a, you know, the peanut, the joke with like the peanuts where you shake in a can and then you pop the lid off and the snake pops out. They have a chest burster in a can. <That's awesome. laughs> Like that.
That is awesome.
If you want those, Gentle Giant, who is a company right now that is making super large toys. They even make like a sick, they're making the old Kenner Star Wars action figures, but like 2 foot tall.
The giant ones.
Yeah. Okay. Well, they make the alien that was the old 12 inch one. They're making a 24 inch version of that.
Are you going to get it?
It sells for about $450. This is the going price right now.
Oh, $4.50, so. Rob. That's no big deal. You could buy me in Zurb one.
For that, you can have the chest burster in a can. No, this is $450.
Oh, ooh, I'll take two.
Yeah. But if you search eBay, type in alien, lunchboxes, bottle openers, baseball caps, T-shirts, mini mates, the little figures. I mean, you name it. You could get anything for, and not just alien, but the whole series. And there were also... And I won't list all the ones for all the series, but just limited to just Alien. There is a Atari 2600 game. And what would you think an Atari 2600 Alien game would be like? What would you imagine?
Beep, boop, beep, boop.
What do you think it would
look? I would think that...
The gameplay.
I would think...
Look like E.T. game.
Okay.
Be a long stick with a stick underneath it, and you have to shoot at it and run.
Okay. It is, there are two levels, and the first is basically a copy of Pac-Man, where you go around and you're chasing the other people on the ship. And then the second level is kind of like Freeway, which was like Frogger, you know, where you have mm-hmm. to cross the street and there's things coming at you. So has almost nothing to do with the movie. Then there were games that are based on more closely follow the movie, in 84 for the Commodore 64 and the ZX Spectrum. And then, like I said, I think I found Aliens, which came out on the Commodore Apple II, in 86. And I looked on Moby Games and the last Aliens related games came out in 2014. So, I mean, they're still... I mean, it's a solid video game franchise. It's been out for a long time. And also on eBay, if you want to own this movie, if you have anything that plays movies, this has been released in that format. There are Betamax copies on eBay, VHS, Laserdisc, DVD, Blu-rays. Now, for this, to watch this time, I watched the director's cut. And Sean, I think you watched the same version. The director's cut has some cut scenes inserted back in. And there's one scene in particular where when Ripley and everybody they're looking for the alien. They're running around the ship looking for the alien. And they stop, and then all of a sudden they find a bunch of their shipmates. And they're like stuck to the wall in some sort of web thing or whatever. Well, that's not in the actual theatrical release.
That's okay. So that's the one I saw.
Okay. So, and they said, you know, they cut it out because basically you're in the middle of, the people on the ship chasing an alien. And then you just stop with this whole weird scene where we see Dallas and everybody stuck to the wall. And we find out that they're still partly alive.
Yeah, you know, let me ask you, because I thought he said kill me.
He does. Because basically, I think we're supposed to believe that they're slowly being digested, maybe in a very painful way.
Do you think when he said kill me to her, he meant blowtorch me, or maybe like do it a little quicker and a little less painful with maybe a gun of some sort.
You know, like, what I think thought he was like, yeah, like, you know, me. When I'm at work and I get an email, and I'm like, oh God, kill me. I don't want the guy next to me to blowtorch me. Like, maybe he was just saying, oh, kill me. I got stuck on this wall. And then, so she burns him alive with the blowtorch. This flamethrower thing, but anyway, so there are a few scenes like that, that, I think in the original one, I could be wrong on this, but you know, there's this whole subplot going on with the guys in the movie, worrying about if they're going to get paid, you know, they're basically saying, this isn't our job to go chase aliens and do all this stuff. And I think a lot of that's cut out of the theatrical one. I think those were reinserted. So just some of the stuff that stretches, which is a little unfortunate because it makes a long movie longer. And the parts that were added back in, I don't think really add to the film. But I think this stuff came in with one of the box sets. And you know, if you're going to get people to buy the same movie for 30 years, you got to put something else in it for them to buy. So
now I obviously saw the theatrical version, and I wanted to add, my movie is an hour and 54 minutes. So how long was the movie you guys saw?
I'm going to say 8 hours.
Wow.
It was pretty
long. That's a lot of extras.
I think it was more like 7.5.
Yeah. That's a Sigourney Weaver shot. Not long enough.
Yeah.
I'd have to go back and look, but it was well over 2 hours.
Yeah.
Definitely over two. Yeah.
Wow.
And did you say that, speaking of watching this on different formats, did you recently get a copy of this?
Yes. I was Monday, this past Monday. I was doing my usual ritual of stopping off at the Goodwill, fishing for anything I can find that I would love to cherish. And in the glass case, I looked down and saw this, the Alien Quadrilogy. And it has all of the movies in there. And if I may, this came out in 2012, it says on the box. So it's pretty new. And it comes with two discs per video. What? Per movie. And I'm trying to open it up full. My arm span is 6 feet long. Apparently Sean's is 30 feet. Hold on. Here we go. It's almost completely open. Look at this.
I'm holding
6 feet worth of DVDs for the movies.
So how many discs are actually in this thing?
There's, they say there's 9. I thought it was 10. Hold on. Let me count them. 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Yeah, there is only 9. So there's a bonus disc all about making the movies.
That's cool. And so if that was 2012 and Alien came out in 82.
79.
Alien came out in 79. So mm-hmm. That would be me having one too many beers on this podcast.
So, yeah.
And that's enough of the awesome. Pac-Man show. That's a cool.
Thanks
that's
for
a
listening
good
find. This, you don't know Sprite Castle.
That's a cool find, though.
Yeah, and it was only $9.99, and it, in mint condition, still packaged. Some sweetheart purchased this and decided they're never going to watch it. Let's give it to Goodwill. Wow. And I came in that same day, thank God. And perfect timing, right before doing the show. So
yeah,
here we
nice.
Go.
Nice find.
Yeah. Well, that kind of leads into our closing that I usually ask is, and I guess we know the answer for you, Zurb, if you're going to watch this movie again.
I'm sure going to watch the movie again and the rest of them. There's one thing I would like to say about this movie that is kind of cosmic. And it is the fact that, you know, who is the alien? Is it the alien that was already out there? Or are we the alien for intruding where they were in the first place? Think about that.
Okay.
And I'll leave my post and let someone else stand guard. Thank you.
Thanks, Johnny.
Well,
how about you, Rob?
I actually watched this with my kids. because I knew there wasn't any nudity is really the big thing that will keep me away, keep the kids away from watching something, you know? And then language is actually probably second before violence, which really sounds like I have twisted morals, but my kids love special effects and stuff just like I did at that age. So they realize, they know it's not a real alien. They know it's a guy in a suit. And we look it up on the internet, like, you know, the drawings and stuff like that. So they're not scared of special effects types things. And the words, we've talked about that before, where I just tell them, I'm like, look, you repeat these words, you're going to get beat and I'm going to get beat. Mom is going to beat us all. So you can hear them, don't repeat them, you know. But so I knew there wasn't any nudity or anything. So I let them watch it, and I probably will go back and watch this. But more than that, I definitely want to watch the other ones with the kids as well, you know. And this one was a tough one. I think both kids may have nodded off just because, you know, it's so long and it's suspenseful, you know. And I think they might like the other ones that have a little bit more action in them. But I mean, it's a great, great movie.
Yeah, you know, I'm kind of looking forward to watching the second one, yeah. Aliens, maybe in the near future. I'd like to watch it. It's kind of piqued my interest. I know you said, and also my wife has said that it's different.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm still curious to watch that. So, but I did like this one. I'll keep it in the digital library, I'll probably watch it sometime with my oldest son at some point.
You know what I would say about this one is it's definitely one of those movies that I would go back and watch again, but you got to be in the mood for it. You know what I mean? Like if you're
very true,
you know, stuff like, a lot of 80s comedies and movies we've talked about, you can just throw on, no matter, you can watch it in the background or whatever. This is definitely a movie that you're going to focus on. You have to watch for 2 hours and you have to be, you know, like I said, in that mood where there's not slapstick stuff going on. There's not funny stuff. And a lot of times there's no action going on. It's just building toward that. So you have to be, I mean, to me, this is a late night, turn up the TV, turn out the lights, sit in front of the TV, focus kind of movie, you know? And so if you're in the mood for that kind of movie, I would watch it again. But if I'm in the mood, you know, just to put something on the background or whatever, I wouldn't. I'd put on, you know, some of the other movies we've watched.
Yeah.
You know?
And just to kind of go back to what I had said about the acting and it makes those longer in-between scenes a lot easier and it seems to flow a lot more because the acting I think is really well done and the interaction between the characters. So, I did enjoy it. Like I said, I'd like to watch this with my older son at some point. I'll make sure that maybe 10 minutes in, I'll go get a drink and come back and ask him if she knows he's an android yet. And I'll be like, oops, I'm sorry. Oh, gosh, just like your mother. But anyways, guys, hey, this was fun. This is a good movie. It's going to wrap up our Aliens episode. But, man, I'm really glad we got back to this. It was a long 10-month journey back to Earth. Hopefully it doesn't take that much longer to get another show out. But I had a good time. Hope you guys did, too. Zurb.
Yes.
Why don't you tell the nice folks where they can find other great stuff created by you?
Oh, by me? I will definitely...
I'm sorry, I meant Rob. Rob, what?
Well, first of all, you could definitely find... Do you want me to talk about me, or did you want me to talk about the throwback reviews?
No, your stuff. This is when you plug yourself.
Well, bless you. Okay, then. You can find anything you wish to hear come out of my face at www.zurbinator.wordpress.com.
All right. You caught me in the midst of a little drink. Sure. Thank you. And I'm not editing that out. but go check out the rest of Zurb stuff. Really good stuff out there. Especially, I got to mention his latest 80 to 89 where he has Ferg from the 2600 Gaming Gang podcast. I listened to it today and I was laughing my ass off. It was good. Thanks. Really good episode.
I really enjoyed recording with him too. It was fun.
It sounded like it. It very much sounded natural. So very good stuff. How about you, Mr. Rob? Are we going to be getting any Sprite Castles or some more you don't know flax goose. I got to say that because we had the like 2.5 month hiatus from this show, it got you recording. So hopefully you keep doing that. You going to keep pumping them out?
Yeah, for sure. The you know, I always for you don't know flax, the hard part's always coming up with topics that I haven't covered before, you know, things that'll work on the show and things that we haven't talked about on other shows, you know, but yeah, there's definitely some You Don't Know Flax in the work, and Sprite Castle is you know, Sprite Castle gets less than, I don't know, 1/20th, 1/30th of the downloads that You Don't Know Flax gets. I mean, it's a really small listener base compared to that, but I enjoy doing it just as much. I mean, it's literally playing games and talking about, you know, Commodore games and stuff. So they're both fun. But you can find them on RobO'Hara.com, or you can go to ThrowbackNetwork.net, your home for quality retro podcasts.
You know, I gotta say, if listeners also listen to You Don't Know Flack, but you don't listen to Sprite Castle, you really should check it out. Don't be like, oh, I didn't have a Commodore 64. I got to tell you, I mean, really, I'm not just saying this because we're friends. Like, the production on that show is great. And you get that flack story kind of feeling that you get from his other show. Thanks, so you should really, really give it a shot and give it a listen. I guarantee you, you'll keep listening.
You know, a lot of the games that I talk about on there are not specific to the Commodore. You know, like I just talked about California Games, which is on like every system back then, you know, just happens to be I played it on the Commodore. But yeah, I do try to tie it in. Like on the last one I just did was about Break Street, which is a breakdancing game. So, you know, I talk about the game and then I talk a little bit about like my memories about, you know, breakdancing and stuff like that. So I did cut some segments out of the show, though. I don't know if you heard that.
You know what? I did, but I think it's really, honestly, I think it's perfect now. And if I could just give like kind of a little teaser, and if not, you'll tell me and I'll edit this part out. But every episode, like at the end of the episode, I'm always trying to figure out, cause you always have like an 8-bit tune that's mm-hmm. playing at the end of the episode, and it has something to tie in with what your subject is, you know, like California Games and the breaking one. So I'm like, okay, what band is this and what song is it and where's the tie in? So it's kind of a cool little game you can kind of play, and you can email Rob or something and throw in a guess or something.
Yep. I'll just tell you, somebody already guessed the one for this one, but, the game was Break Street, and then the song at the end was
Wait, don't.
Do you know it?
Please, not yet.
Oh, you don't want me to tell you?
I want to hear the rest. I'm only halfway through it. Don't tell
me. Okay, all right. I'll tell you the last one was California Games, mm-hmm. and the song was Californication by Red Hot Chili Peppers. So it doesn't have anything to do with the game, but it's kind of a sort of play.
It's right. A nice little tie-in.
Right. Yeah. The one that I thought was funny was Bruce Lee. I reviewed that game, and then at the end I did Turning Japanese, which is really funny because during the show I talked about how Bruce Lee was Chinese, but then I went to a Chinese buffet and I had sushi, which is Japanese. And so it's kind of a running joke throughout the show of mixing up Chinese and Japanese. So that was like, not only was it a play, but it was a joke too. But a lot, there are many, many things in my life that I do that just entertain me. and I sometimes the jokes of these songs are one of those things. So, but yeah, if you're the first person to guess that, then you are the official king of the castle for the next episode. Oh. Yeah. So, and who wouldn't want that on their resume?
Yeah.
Good stuff.
So definitely check that out.
Thanks, man.
It's good stuff. I really am enjoying them. And I will say that I voxed you as soon as I listened to it that day, and I guessed the band, but I did not know the song. So I would not have been a king, but maybe.
You could be the queen of the castle.
With a 30-inch pole.
And as far as my little plugs, I got OTR playlist that I'm doing with Ferg from 2600 Game of Game Podcast. I got an episode I just did an edit. I should have that out before this comes out, actually. So we're doing that like once a month, kind of. I'm trying to take 2015 podcasting, not that I took it real serious before, but when it happens, it happens. We're going to try to get a throwback out once a month, try to get OTR out once a month. And I actually have something in the works that should be coming out. I should be recording my first episode. I'm hoping this month, but definitely by the first week of March. I'm actually doing it with my friend that lives here. He does all the races I do. We're both runners. So we're going to do a podcast about running, but it's going to be more focused to just average people that run. It's, you know, there's a lot of great running podcasts out there, and a lot of them teach you a lot of stuff. A lot of them talk to like elite runners and stuff. This is going to be like just average people. So kind of got that in the works. I'm excited to do it. My buddy's Never podcast, and I asked him, and he was like, yeah, man, sounds like fun. So probably won't be on the Throwback Network because it's not really a throwback item, although I guess we could say,
you know, running. I think we should make a little separate area just for like our other projects and stuff. We'll make a little
there
separate
thing. There you go.
Yeah.
Did you say this is about running? You're going to record it about running or while running?
No, about running.
Oh, okay.
And stuff like that. So, well, we should
How
be
are you doing today? I'm doing okay.
Yeah. But, yeah, so hopefully, you know, if you're into running or want to get into running, look out for that, and I'll announce that. So I'm excited about it.
Nice.
But other than that, that is going to wrap up this episode. And I had a good time. So thanks again, guys, for coming back. Thanks for everybody for keeping us in your RSS feed after 2 months off. And until next time, thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening to Throwback Reviews. You can find show notes for this episode at throwbackreviews.com, and you can find this and lots of other great shows over at throwbacknetwork.net, your home for quality retro podcasts. If you'd like to send us feedback about the show, like us on Facebook at Throwback Reviews Podcast, or follow us on Twitter as simply Throwback Review. You can also email us at feedback@throwbackreviews.com or leave us a voicemail at area code 716-243-2709. If you really love the show, head over to iTunes and leave us a review there. Thanks again for listening to another episode of Throwback Reviews.